bienvenida al Congreso Virtual para Mujeres Resiliente 2021. Te invitamos a prepararte para un mensaje especial directo del corazón de Dios para tu vida.
Hello, this is the second teaching on resilience by Kay Twombly for El Shaddai. And we're going to pick up we closed our last session talking about the things that affect our resilience. And we really went into salvation, being sure that you're saved, because your whole foundation, when you start going through hard times, difficult times, you got to know that you're saved. I just wanted to be sure, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead me as we go. So let's pray now so we can turn this over to the Lord, okay? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be with this special group of people. And Father, once again, I thank you that you keep reminding me that you're God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, I am asking for miracles in these ladies' lives. I am asking for signs and wonders. They have children they're interceding for. They have husbands. They have mothers and fathers and family members that they're crying out for help. And I ask you, Father, to show yourself big and wide in miracles. I ask for miracles over this group. And as they sit and listen today, and as they leave, that your presence would leave with them and surround them and love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I told you when we finished the last one so the next factor I want to talk about that affects resilience is if a person has a lot of brokenheartedness, because, in the book, the Where Was God book, I have this thing here that it says, this is how the Lord showed to me. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's like a person that has holes in them. Now, this is regarding spiritual things, not spiritual, emotional things that hurt you. Yes, you could have gotten in an accident and have a physical disability. That's a trauma also. Any type of trauma, whether it's emotional, physical, it affects our inner being. Talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus wants to build up our inner being. He wants to, out of his glorious riches, you say, well, he's going to fill up my inner being. Where is all that help coming from? Out of his glorious riches, because he wants us. He wants to share himself with us. He wants us to walk with him. And if we're going through a rocky place, he wants us to walk with him so we can walk around the rocks and not stump our toe. But if we get ahead of God and say, I got to do this and I got to do that, and God said, no, you got to walk with me. You need to walk with me. So I spend this book, and then I have a workbook. I spend 2 days in a seminar looking at this. We're going to talk about this about 20, 30 minutes. But I want to just do as I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. When something happens, this is an example. When something happens in your life and it affects your ability to trust. Let's say you had a childhood that your parents weren't there, or they would say they were coming, but they didn't. Or you had a childhood that your parents didn't follow through on what they said. You had a lot of disappointments. They could have abused you. So many different ways to be abused. You can be abused by words. You can be abused by hands being overly disciplined. You can be sexually abused. There's all different ways a person can be abused. I mean, we as friends and talking to one another can abuse each other with our words. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is all of that is covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, you may be saying, well, Kay, all we've got to do is pray that one time and God will heal all my heartaches and I won't need counseling and I won't need to go to church and I'll be fine. No, that's not what I'm saying. Inner healing, most of the time, is a process. It's a process. The Lord starts a healing. He teaches you as you go. Yes, I have seen miraculous, let me share a miraculous healing. My father was an alcoholic. I grew up in extreme poverty. When I was 12 years old, my father, with a Baptist preacher, got on his knees and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been drinking for 25 years. My dad got up and never drank again. He did not go to counseling. He did not go to AA. He did not go to rehab. This is a true story. I'm telling you a true story. Now, I've seen other situations in my family that it didn't happen that way. Most of the time, it's a process. But for some reason, in my personal walk with the Lord, God is leading me and has on the top of my mind miracle signs and wonders. So just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It means Jesus said, keep knocking, keep asking. We keep bringing it before the Lord. My prayer partner, Bonnie, I was telling you about that we prayed 4.5 years. I know the Lord's heard every prayer. We have a list of addicts we pray for every day. We have a list of troubled teens that we pray for every day. We have a list of mentally ill teens we pray for. Our God is so capable of handling it all. And He does lead you at times to people to get advice and to get counsel and to get instructions. And don't resist that if he allows that, if he guides you that way. We want all of God's resources to help us be the very best person we can be, to live the very best, our full destiny for the Lord. You and I want to reach our full destiny with the Lord. I do, and I know that you do too. Okay. So when I'm teaching on the brokenhearted and I start pointing out the things that, you know, just the example I use, trust. If you didn't have a father you could trust, if you didn't have a mother you could trust, then you may have a whole lot of trouble believing you can trust God. You might not be able to trust anyone. I've seen people that have been so abused they couldn't trust anyone. But that doesn't mean that our God and His Holy Spirit can't get in there and start nurturing that spirit and start building up that spirit and start healing that inner being so that person can begin to trust and to begin to enjoy the presence of a God that loves them, who would never hurt them, who would never betray them or lie to them. So that's, you know, God wants to help us. And He says, ask. And so sometimes, I mean, I'll ask for you today. I'll ask when I close this out, I'm going to be praying for you. Sometimes if you say, Lord, I can't pray about it. I don't know what to pray about. That's okay. Just say, Holy Spirit, pray for me. Help me to know what I need. Pray for me. And He will. And He will guide you. And He will help you. And we talk about, you know, when we talk about the real problem with not dealing with your hurts and the different issues in your past is we build walls. Like if you can't trust your mother or your father and you build this wall that you don't trust anybody, and then you're trying to serve the Lord and you want to be close to the Lord, but you've got this wall of I don't trust anybody. And so this wall's got to come down for the love of God to be able. And I've got a whole book on walls because the walls keep people a wall of hate. You know, there's all kind of walls. And so I wrote a whole book on that because that was the questions that people ask me the most questions on how do I take down a wall of anger. So many people have anger issues, and they had anger issues because maybe they either saw someone who demonstrated anger, okay? It's generally a learned behavior. However, there can be an imbalance in the brain and there's anger issues. And I just have to speak the truth because I am a counselor and I am educated. But so it's learned behavior in anger, and then it's a chemical imbalance that many times medication will help that. And of course, finding the right counselor, a Christian counselor who believes is, I ask the Lord to help you find one if that's what you need. But there are things in our lives and in our personality that we want to change. You know, one of the things I'm going to share with you a wall that I have. When I was in my early 20s, I accepted the Lord at 19. The Lord spoke to me one night in a Bible study that I wasn't teaching anything at that time. I was just attending. And the Lord told me that there was a personality issue that he wanted me to deal with. I said, "What, Lord?" He said, "There's a personality issue I want you to deal with." And I said, "Please, God, tell me, what are you talking about?" He said, "You grew up in a home that everybody was very negative and they spoke very negative about everything." And he said, "I want you to stop speaking negative." He said, "I want you to think about a new way. And until you can stop speaking negative about everything, I just don't want you to say anything. If something came up politically, you know, family members would just rave on, you know," and the Lord said, "No, I want you to take that to prayer. You might not have an opinion until I show you what the opinion is." That was a wall in my, I had learned, that was learned behavior. I had learned that when something came up, always look for the negative in it. "Oh, I expected that out of her." No, when you hear something about somebody, say, "I expect, God help her," and say it to yourself, or pray for the person. Pray for the person. God loves everybody, whether they love him or not. So that was an example of a wall. And then the big wall I talk about in the Walls book and Where Was God is emotional insulation. Okay, emotional insulation, especially if you were physically abused with over-disciplined or if you were sexually abused. When touch has been misrepresented, mishandled, when you have been abused by touch, you can build a wall of emotional insulation that you don't want to be too close to anybody because they can hurt you, physically hurt you. And this can really do a lot of damage in marriages. But Emotional insulation is a wall that I talk about in depth in the Walls book and when we do the seminar on healing for the heart. But anyway, those are the walls that the Holy Spirit softens and helps bring down because He loves you. He wants you to be everything you can be. So I want us to have plenty of time for prayer on this issue because this is my heart to see people not affected by their past or if they were raised in extreme poverty or if they were raised in a very embarrassing situation. When your father's one of the town drunks, you're embarrassed when people talk about your father or your mother if she's not in a profession that's, if she happens to be in a profession that is embarrassing. So there's a lot of things that happen in our childhood that can affect us, and we're trying to really pull close to God. And we say, God, whatever is in my life that makes me keep you at a distance, I really want to have that removed. And we ask, then we start, when we become aware of it. I've seen God heal things that you're not even aware of. I've seen that happen. And I've seen God take a while. And you can't judge one person just because one person got a miracle and the other one didn't. Something that's in process, it ends in a miracle, is a miracle. God can take any amount of time He wants. You remember the guy with the that was blind, and Jesus told him to put the mud in his eyes, and he says, he didn't get healed that first time. He said, I see men darkly, and told him to do it again. Okay, so there are times that you have to hear it again, or you have to read it again. That's okay. We're not perfect. God hadn't called us to be perfect. He's called us to come to Him, and He will take care of us through the blood of Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to believe that. And so now I'm going to pray for the people here that maybe one of the reasons that they're not being able to be resilient and stand for the Lord is they have wounds they're not even aware of, or God may do something really miraculous today and reveal something to you and heal you at the same time. That you see something, that you understand something, and then it's gone. God's perfect at doing things like that. And I'm expecting that. I'm expecting that. I want you to have all the understanding that you need. And when I do the seminars, we're going for understanding and miracles. But I'm really asking the Lord for miracles today. Okay, let's pray. Father, you know everyone who's sitting there, what their childhood was like, who they could trust, who they could not trust. You know the ones who felt overlooked or left out. And I want to pray a special prayer for the people who felt overlooked or left out. That is a lonely place to have been, and especially when you lived it day in and day out. Father, I ask you to do a Holy Spirit miracle of inclusion, that you pull them into you, and they feel the inclusion of the Lord all the way around them, and they feel the mercy of the Lord helping them. And their understanding is so great, they realize there are some of their walls and they're sorry and they're really feel just an overwhelming grateful heart that you're dealing with some things today, that you have not forgotten them and that they'll never feel forgotten or left out. I thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you today. I thank you for ministering to the people through this video. Because you're a God who is not controlled by time or space. Father, I pray for everybody who's sitting there who's ever been betrayed and not at loss to know what to do about the betrayal. Father, I ask you to give them a gift of forgiveness. Gift of forgiveness. I want to close on this. I want to tell you this testimony and then I'm going to close. When I was in my 40s, I was already in ministry, late 40s. I was ministering. I was teaching at conferences. I was at this ladies' conference in the mountain. There were about 10 of us speaking. It went on for days. And the Lord started a real deep stirring in me about my dad. Now, the 12 years that my father drank were very fearful years. And when he was drunk, you never knew what he would do. When I got home after that conference, the Lord woke me up. It's a real long story, but I'm not going to tell all of it. I want to tell what you need to hear about the Holy Spirit, what he did. I woke up and I kept asking the Lord, "What's wrong, Lord? What's wrong? I've been thinking about my daddy all weekend." And the Lord said to me, "Unforgiveness." I said, "Lord, what do you mean, unforgiveness? He's the one that abused us. What do you mean? Unforgiveness. A gift. God gave me a gift of forgiveness, came into me that night. I was up by myself like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm looking out in the Spirit and I'm looking out in the Spirit and I'm praying in the Spirit. And I felt the Lord start moving in me. And I looked up and I saw myself kind of like in a spirit form, and inside of me was bits of dust. And I said, "Lord, what is that dust?" He said, "That's unforgiveness that you have towards your dad." And all of a sudden, this whatever I felt in the Spirit came up through me, and the image I saw, it was like a projectile vomit and just threw it all the unforgiveness out of me. I have never been the same since. That was a miracle. My father had abused me and my sister. God, his Spirit came into me and took the unforgiveness out. I didn't know it was there. And I didn't know I needed to deal with it. That's the kind of God we serve. Father, continue your ways with your children. Thank you for reminding me to share that testimony. And Father, I thank you for every woman that's there, every heart you're healing. Open them up that they can hear you speak to them in different ways. And let them know when the Almighty God has visited them, because you will visit them. Bless them now, Father, and hold and keep them until we meet again for our last message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eres una mujer resiliente. Te invitamos a escuchar otros mensajes en congreso.iglesialshaddai.org.